to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Taking a church, I was a Baptist pastor, I was a teenager, and the church here at Victory was just beginning. And we were over on, I forgot the street, not Victoria, what was the name of that street? Wooddale Boulevard. And we were in a warehouse that was owned by a lady that owned a Christian bookstore. And she allowed us to have this warehouse for free. Didn't charge us any rent. Just gracious and gave it. And after we had moved away from there and moved over here, Doc Malilly, that's where Christian Life began. They came in after us and they had their church there at the Wooddale Boulevard before he bought the property down at LSU. And we just had a great time, and that church was going on, and I was pastoring a Baptist church. Well, I began to hear, I was a teenager, and I worked for a pharmacist in town. And this pharmacist began to tell me about Acts chapter 2. And I've got to tell you, when he began to talk to me, I had no clue what he was talking about. I didn't understand it. I'd grown up a Christian most of my life and had never even, it wouldn't even penetrate my thinking what he was saying to me. And that was that there was something that happened on the day of Pentecost to a bunch of believers that already believed in the Lord Jesus and that they'd already been touched by the Lord and walked with the Lord, that something happened to them that could happen beyond that experience of salvation. And I never heard of that, never knew it existed. Just the transformation, it took a while to even sink into my brain that something like that was possible. And this morning in our Sunday school classes across the campus here, we dealt with the Spirit-filled life. And Wednesday night, what we're going to be doing Wednesday night, we're going to pray the whole night Wednesday night in the Spirit. We're going to pray in tongues. We're going to pray, and I'll just say that out. If you'd like to come on Wednesday night, we'll be in here. We'll be praying in the Spirit that night. I'll talk a little bit about the benefits of praying in another language. But when I was a Baptist, I mean, I'd grown up all my life. I was now a teenager, my late teens. And this guy was trying to communicate something to me that I could not grasp. Because I'd been in church all my life and never heard of it and honestly, never even heard of it. And so here I am in my late teens and this pharmacist explaining it to me. And I remember down the street, I had a friend that lived down the street called Jimmy Withers, and Jimmy came to this church and he was talking to me. We got to know each other from a ministry and began talking to me about it. And then the pastor of the church of Victory then was a guy by the name of Randy Bonacarso. And I remember after a while I began to rebel against it. In fact, I came over here and got people out of this church and made them deny what they'd experienced. That's the truth. And I remember Randy called me and he said, "Leave my people alone." I said, "Okay." And there was a man by the name of Dr. Pentecost who was against this Pentecostal movement. And it was a funny name to have. Can you imagine being named, you know, your name is Pentecost and then you're, you know, the staunch thing against Pentecostals. And I remember studying it. And the problem was, you know, I found that when somebody gets real emotional, that's many times is when they are not very secure in where they are. You know, when somebody comes out and they're not really secure where they are. And I remember studying it and praying about it. I remember thinking, "Oh God, is this true or not?" And I remember putting a nickel on the counter saying, "Lord, in the morning, let the buffalo be upside down in the morning, you know, if this is true." And, you know, I said, if it could work for Gideon, it could work for me and all these kind of things. And I remember just thinking, you know, "Lord, I want everything you have for me, Lord. I don't under." And it was really a struggle. You got to know, it was a struggle for me. It was a real struggle. And so today, in Sunday school class, and if you haven't had a chance to go, I really encourage you to go. We start at 9:09 and, just come back to the gym, and Ralph Booker and myself are back there with his wife and all, and we'll show you where to go. And we've got age classes and all that to be a part of. And we dealt with it this morning. And today I want to talk to you and I want to read this beginning scripture. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived." And it's amazing teaching if you've ever taught about the feast of the Lord, how the Lord was crucified on Passover and how he rose again during those three seasons, 9/11, all that took place. And then it says 40 days passed, and when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That everybody said, look at somebody, that really happened. That really happened. Would you say somebody? Now, look at Acts chapter 8, if you would. We'll go to the next one. This is many years later. It says, Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Now, watch this. Philip went down, sometimes when the Lord tells you to do something, he said, go into all the world. Is that what he said? Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the utmost. For years, they camped out in Jerusalem and wouldn't leave. How many know sometimes when you don't do what God tells you to do, he has a way to set a little fire under you? And the Bible says Saul began ravaging the church. And guess what happened? They had to be scattered everywhere preaching the word. Exactly what the Lord told them to do to begin with. Little tidbit there. And Philip, though, so he went down to the city of Samaria, and notice this, and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. Listen what this. And when they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed, were lame, were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city, amazed the people of Samaria. Now, I want you to get this. Philip goes down. Now, get it. Philip goes down to the city of Samaria, begins to preach to them Jesus. And the Bible says he delivered many of them, and he began to baptize them in water because as they began to follow the Lord. But I want you to notice what it took me a while to see as a Baptist pastor, because I got people saved, they believed in the Lord Jesus, and I thought that was it. Notice what it says. There was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city, amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying the man is the great power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom. Now stay here, stay on this scripture a minute. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Now don't move the scripture. They were baptized, both men and women. And that was, and you know what I realized? That was all that I did in my Baptist ministry. If I got somebody to believe in the Lord Jesus, they repented of their sins, and I baptized them in the name of the Lord, I had finished my mission in terms of what God had for them. I would disciple them and bring them on. But I never saw the next part. Notice again, the name of, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay, verse 12. Even Simon himself believed, and being baptized, he continued and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now watch this. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, this is many years now later, had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had yet not fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, you don't baptize them. They don't believe in Jesus and baptize them and they're not saved. You can't say, well, they weren't saved because listen, there is something beyond just believing in the Lord and being baptized with water. There is something about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God in your life. See, I'd only been in my place, and I thought, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm telling you, until I was a teenager, I was pastoring a church, had never dawned through my darkened thinking that there was something beyond believing in Jesus and getting baptized in water. All right, go to Acts. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. All right, next scripture. This is many, many, many years later. Paul is coming near Ephesus, and I want you to notice what it is. It happened that when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive, now notice what he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If it were not possible for you not to receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, that would be the most stupidest question, that's a great word, stupidest. That would be the most stupid question you could ever ask. Why would you ask a stupid question. Why would you ask a question that was not even, you could not say yes or no to? Paul believed that you could believe and not receive the Holy Spirit. Paul believed you could believe in the Lord Jesus. You could be baptized in water. He still believed that you could do that and not receive the Holy Spirit. And let me say this very openly so you understand. Everyone that ever believes, I believe, has the Spirit of, only salvation is only by the Spirit. I'm not saying you don't have, and I don't want to say the word any because that's not the correct term. You have not received, it's possible to become a Christian and be baptized in water and walk with the Lord and not have fulfilled and not having received this thing called the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They could have said yes, or they could say no. Or they could say, I don't have a clue. I don't know what you're saying. They said no. And he said, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, in the what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. They were even further back than what he thought. He thought at least they said, you believe, you know, what he said, when they said, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Ghost. Well, they were even further back than what he even thought. And so he said, John baptized the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe on the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in water. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now get this. He asked them, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? If it wasn't important to begin with, why would he even ask it? Secondly, if it was an automatic, why would he ask, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? If it was an automatic, you got it all when you believed. Because he understood that there was something separate in terms of believing on the Lord, being baptized in water. And there was something separate called, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because they would say, well, no, we believe. But they went even further back. Said, we haven't heard about all that. We don't even ever heard of a Holy Ghost. We've just believed in John. So what he did was he preached to them Jesus, got them saved under the Lord Jesus, baptized them in water, and then he laid his hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Amen. Now get that in your heart, because that is true. That's biblical. That's Bible. I don't care what religion has taught you. I grew up 18 years believing the other way and not knowing that there was something beyond just believing on the Lord and being baptized in water. And I didn't know there was something you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says it, and I want to talk to you this morning about why you need the Holy Ghost. Why do you need him to begin with? You say, you know, and that's where I was, because I had come to a place, I loved the Lord, I prayed, I was a prayer warrior, I saw people saved, I said, well, what do I need any more for? So I want to show you a little bit this morning what I believe why you need the Holy Ghost. And I'll say it this way. I believe anybody that believes on the Lord Jesus has the Spirit of God in their life. I don't believe you're devoid of the Spirit. I believe you have the Spirit of God. But I believe there's something more called the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you can receive that is different than what happened when you were just, I believe in Jesus, and you were baptized in water. You repented of your sins. Jesus came into your heart by his Spirit and lives inside you. But that is different than this thing where Paul would ask the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Here we go. Why do you need, why would you even need that? Let's start this morning and let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll open our understandings that we can receive. Spirit of the living God, open our eyes that we can see, ears that we can hear, a heart that we can receive. And we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Look around, somebody say, oh, God, thank God he let us sit down. Come on, say somebody, let me, he's about to let us sit down. All right, why you need the Holy Ghost? Number one is this, because the Holy Spirit is good. Everybody say it with me. He is what? Good. Say it one more time. He is? Good. The Holy Ghost is good. I don't know about you, but we had a group of, my mom said one time up in where they live, there was a lady in their gun. She said, I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want anything to do with that Holy Ghost. She was afraid of ghosts, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the Holy Spirit is good. Everybody say he's good one more time. You know, listen, God wanted with all his heart to bless the nation of Israel and when Jesus came. And when God sent the Spirit, Jesus, he defined it. He said, I'm about to go away, but I'm about to send you someone, and he's going to help you. He's going to be good for you. Everybody say good one more time. See, the gospel is not the sad news preached bad. It's the good news preached glad. Come on, somebody. It is the good news of the Holy Ghost. Nehemiah chapter 9, look at this scripture. You gave your, everybody say it with me. You gave your good spirit. The Spirit of God is good. He wants to do you good. Look at Psalms 143. If you're led by the Spirit, he'll lead you into good things. You get, look, go ahead, do I have Psalms? Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground. See, the Spirit of God wants to do you good. He's not here to, you know, we always speak of conviction and correction and all that. Those things are part. But the main ingredient of the Holy Ghost is he is a good spirit. And he wants to lead you into good things. Look at Luke chapter 11. It says, if you then are evil, know how to give, everybody say good gifts. Good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give? And the analogy is that the Holy Spirit is a good gift. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I like getting a gift. And one of the great things I have is that Jesus gives this analogy in this parable. He says this. He says, all the Spirit wants to do is to bless you, because if you're evil and you give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father give a good gift to his children? And the good gift he gave to us was called the Holy Ghost. Everybody say amen. Would you say amen? Number two, why do you need the Holy Ghost? Number two, the Holy Spirit wants you to feel that you are a child of God. You know, there's a lot of people, they just think God's putting up with them. I always tell this story. You know, if you ever watch Leave It to Beaver, remember Wally had this friend. What was Wally's friend's name? Eddie Haskell. Remember Eddie Haskell? Remember how he used to just be syrupy and he'd always make these good comments? And you knew that Wally's mom and dad was only putting up with Eddie Haskell because they loved Wally. Come on, somebody. And a lot of people feel like God is only putting up with you. You know, if God really could kick you out, he'd kick you out of. You know what the Spirit God gave us the Spirit for? Is that we can feel that we are a child of the living God. You know, when I had my kids, when they were little, they used to come running in bed. They never asked, could they get in my bed? They never asked permission. They just jumped, come on somebody, and jumped into the goodness of God. They jumped into our bed. And what God's Spirit wants to do is make you feel like you are a child of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery. You know, when Israel came out of Egypt, they had this spirit of slavery. They've been slaves for 400 years. And the Bible says God put his Spirit upon them so that they could stop feeling like slaves and begin to feel like children of the living God. There's a difference when I come out of the world, because you were a slave to sin. And God wants to bring you into his family. And he gives you the Spirit so you can begin to feel like a child of God. Listen, you did not receive a spirit of slavery for to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Look at this. This is good. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also glorify with him. You know what happens is the way that you really know that you're a child of the living God is when God gives you his spirit. You wake up in the morning not thinking, am I saved or am I lost? Am I saved? Am I a Christian? No, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of the living God. I wake up in the morning knowing God loves me and I love God. You know why that happens? That isn't because of my own thinking. That becomes because of the Spirit of the living God. Abba means daddy. It was an affectionate term in the English language. You have to know that. So number two is God wants you, the Spirit, he wants you to know that you are a child of the living God. Number three, why you need the Holy Spirit? The Spirit wants to feel what you feel and to help you through what you're doing, what you're feeling. Look at Judges chapter 10. He says, yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will save you no more. Go and cry out to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress. And the people of Israel said to the Lord, we've sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only please deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. He became, now stay right here on 16. He says, he became impatient over the misery of Israel. Literally in the Hebrew language, his soul was short with the misery. You know what the emotional part of God is? That is his spirit. And you know what the Bible says that God became? It says his soul was short with the misery. He began to feel what they felt. Listen, when you go through something, it's the Holy Spirit that God has given us to go through with what we're going through. It is the Holy Spirit that God's given us that God wants to feel what you're feeling. Some of you are in deep water this morning, and it's the Spirit of God that comes in and feels what you're feeling. He wants not only feel, he wants to help you through it. When your heart is broken, there's one who feels that with you and has come to help. Listen, what Isaiah 61 says. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, this is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prisons to those who are bound. Now notice what he says. The Spirit of God is upon me because. Why is that? Because the Spirit is that which feels what you're going through. You know what I want to know? When I'm going through, I said, God, do you know? God, do you care? And what happens is this. It's the Spirit of God that feels that. Look, Isaiah 63, listen what he said. In all of their affliction, he was afflicted. In all of their affliction, he was afflicted. In all of their affliction, he was afflicted. You remember when Saul was stoning Stephen? You know, the Bible says Jesus, he looked up into heaven. He says, I see Jesus. And now, what's the next word after that? I see Jesus what? Stand, everybody say standing. You know, the Bible says Jesus had been seated at the right hand. Stephen looked up there. He's being hit with stones. He says, I see Jesus standing. You know why? Because it's hard to sit when you're being stoned. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I believe this. When he knocks Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, he said these words, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Come on, somebody. Jesus, you're up in heaven. No, he's afflicted with all of our afflictions. He's walking through. How he's doing? He's up in heaven. How he's doing that? By his Spirit that he gave us. He is sensing what we're sensing. He feels what we're feeling in all of our affliction. Listen, if you're lonely, the Holy Ghost is feeling that with you. If you're going in your pain, he feels. If you're in financial need, he feels that. If you're going, listen, why you need the Holy Ghost? He wants to feel what you're feeling and help you through it. Romans 8, I love this scripture. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in all our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Likewise, the Spirit, everybody say the word helps, would you? That's just one word in the English language. In the Greek, go ahead and put it there. It means this, to take hold together with, against. The Spirit takes hold together with, against. I told you this before, but let me reiterate it. What are the things why you need the Spirit of God in your life? Why you need to be baptized? There'll be situations where you cannot handle what you're having to face. One of the keys about a submarine is the air pressure in a submarine has to balance the pressure on the outside. And what happens is they balance. They have these pressure that pushes against the pressure on the outside. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned in my life. There's a lot of people say, boy, you take a lot of pressure. Hey, it's not me. I'm just got a ballast inside of me. The Holy Ghost just equalizes the pressure that's coming against me. He equalizes it and I don't get crushed. Come on, somebody. Because you know why? Because the Holy Spirit helps. He takes hold together with against what I've got to face. And one of the keys about life is this. He begins to, and I learned this, he doesn't do it all for me. In the classical Greek, it was a picture of a log that was too big to take hold, to pick up yourself. And someone would come, when you picked up your end, someone would come and pick up their end. And what the Holy Ghost does is he comes into your life, and if you'll do what you can do, he'll do the rest. You'll pick up your end of the log, he'll pick it up. And notice the next, look at verse 26 again. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Everybody say helps one more time. In our weaknesses, we do not know what to pray. When you pray in the Spirit takes hold together with. Have you ever faced a situation you didn't know what to do? You didn't know how to pray. You didn't know what God's will was for the situation. You know what I do? I begin to pray in another tongue. I begin to pray in another language that I've never learned. I don't know what I'm saying. Sometimes the Lord will interpret, but most times I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Come on, somebody. You can have the Spirit of God to pray for you. He feels the affliction. All right, number four. Why you need the Holy Ghost? Here's number four. The Holy Spirit will literally carry you sometimes. There's some things you get involved with that you literally don't feel like you can put one more step in front of the other one. You know what happens is the Holy Spirit will carry you at times. Isaiah 63, look at this one. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried. Everybody say carried. He carried them. He carried them all the days of their lives. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against. I've learned something about the Lord. When my kids were little, if somebody attacked them, I was their defender. I protected them. But you know what? Sometimes we take them to the mall. And you know what happened? I had a will for them. Their will, now my will for their life was stay beside daddy. Stay beside mama. But you know what about my kids? They had a will of their own. Come on, somebody. And something would catch their attention. K&B Toy Store. And next thing you know, they were gone toward K&B Toy Store. Guess what? They now was rebelling against my will. Guess what? I turned to be their enemy. Come on, somebody. I had brought them to the mall to do them good, but now I had become their enemy. And so we began, and we used to do this a lot. We used to leave them, you know, sometimes I said, Jasmine, come on, let's just go ahead and hide behind this right here, and let's just watch them and see what happens when they realize mom and dad wasn't there. They didn't give a hoot. They never cared one iota. They never even worried about it. They didn't do any good. So I turned to be their enemy, all right? I meant to do them good, but I turned. And so you have to learn sometimes the Holy Ghost. And look at Deuteronomy. And in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you. There are seasons when the Lord will just have to carry you. I mean, there are sometimes when you don't have enough strength to eat your food, but the Holy Ghost will carry you. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, where the Lord, you see now the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. You know, the Bible says their shoes never wore out. Now I know why, because God carried them. Come on, somebody. He carried them. He literally, and it says, by his Spirit, he carried them. You've heard the old saying about the footprints in the sand, where there was two sets of footprints, and then in the hard time, there was only one set, and the guy asked, why did you leave me? And the Lord said, I didn't leave you, I carried you. Come on, somebody. And the Lord will carry you at times. Why do you need the Holy Ghost? You need God to carry you, to bring you through. The Holy Spirit will do that. Deuteronomy 33 says this. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Listen, you can be in an airplane and both wings flap off. It don't matter. You're under the everlasting arms of God. Come on, somebody. I've learned I can be wherever I am, and underneath me are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, listen, there is the arms of God in our life. And why I need God in my life, why I need the Holy Ghost, is because it's by the Spirit of God, God will carry me at times. Number five, the next one. The Holy Spirit will lead you. One of the biggest needs of our life is to be led by the Holy Ghost. I don't know when's the last time. Look at Acts 15. When's the last time you said this in your life? And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You know what I've got to learn in my life? I don't have to direct. I don't have to sit there and worry what I'm going to do with my life. You know what I got to do? I just got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't have to plan out my life. I can do what I can do. But you know what I need to do? It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to me to sell my house. It seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit to do this, to change jobs, to go here. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Everybody say good to the Holy Spirit. Would you say that? Not good to the last drop. Good to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What happens in life is this. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. Look at Romans 8. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Acts 7 and 5, though, says it this way. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always do what? Resist the Holy Ghost. You always resist. Lord, you know what happens? When you really aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's more difficult not to understand the leading of the Spirit of God. I believe this. You know, when you say, you know, Lord, do you think it's good if I would go ahead and sell my house and move to Alaska? What do you think, Lord? And you don't hear anything. And so you say, well, I don't hear anything. I guess it must be okay with God. And we're going to go ahead and move. You suddenly became his enemy. Look what James says. James says this way. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town, spend a year there, trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For if you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You know what that means? You need to be led by the Spirit of God with what you're doing. In your business, in your personal, in your emotional, in your spiritual life. To be led by the Spirit of God. As it is, your boast in your arrogance and all such boasting is evil. Listen, if you rebel, you become his enemy. And you'll do like my kids. God will turn and he will begin to build a fire on you to bring you back to where you need to be. Amen. All right, number six. Why do you need the Holy Ghost? Number six says this. God, the Holy Spirit wants to do exploits through you. Look at somebody say, little O you. Would you just look at somebody say, little O you. God wants to do exploits. Did you know that God wrote an entire book of the Bible? There's an entire book in the Bible about the exploits of the Holy Ghost. We call it the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's in your Bibles, but really it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Every day in your life, you ought to be able to get up, know you're a child of God. Say, Lord, lead me today. And then that day, God begins to lead you to do exploits by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God happens and you can do more than you could do normally in your own natural life. God will begin to, I don't know if you enjoyed Teresa Greenhoff, but she, wasn't she great the other Sunday? That somebody just allowed the Spirit of God to lead them. And you say, oh, but they're just special people. That's okay. God may do differently with them, but everybody in here has had the power of the Holy. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're a candidate for exploits of God. You can do what the Spirit of God gives you. In the book of Acts, as she said, and I agree, the book of Acts didn't have an ending. When you read all the other books says, and the Lord be with you, amen, and so be it, amen. It's the end of the letter. But in the book of Acts, it's like it's some disjointed, not ending, like he just got tired of writing. You know why? Because the book of Acts is not finished. I don't know if there's going to be the book of Acts extended. You know, book of Acts chapter 2. Come on, somebody. You know, book number 2, book of Acts. And everything we've done listed in that book of Acts of heaven. Because they are no different than you and I. Peter, James, and John were not some saints that put up on a relic or put them up on a wall. They were men of like passion like you and I. And if what they did was written down in Scripture, then what we did will be listed in the annals of heaven one day. And so you can do all day long the exploits, the acts of the Holy Spirit through you. God can use you. Look what Matthew 4 says. Then Jesus was led by who? by the Spirit. Remember, he was baptized in the Jordan River by John baptism. He come out, and the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. And John said, you know what? He said, it was told me whom I see the Spirit coming on without measure. He is the one I've anointed. And the Bible says, as soon as he did, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, not to be defeated, but to do a great exploit for God. The Holy Ghost will lead you at times to be involved in situations that might scare you, but he leads you there at times that you can do great exploits for God. Look what Judges said. Look at this in the story of Samson. No, go back. You had to read the scripture first. Did you have it? Yeah, Judges. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah. And they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of God, Lord, rushed. Everybody say rushed. The lion roared and the Spirit rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. And he did not tell his father, his mother what he had done. Can you imagine? I'm glad. Hey, what'd you do today, little son? Oh, not much. Just tore a lion in half today. Come on, somebody. Just tore a lion in half. You know why? Because the lion, the Bible says the lion rushed. The Hebrew word means the Spirit rushed upon him. I'm going to tell you, you're no different than these. God can move upon you at times and rush upon you. That's what Acts said. We read it at the beginning as they put the Acts chapter 2 up there. It says, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God rushed, arrived. They were all together in one place. And verse 2 says, next scripture, come on. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty, everybody say rushing. Rushing wind. The Bible says the Spirit of God rushed upon them. Back to Judges chapter 14. Listen to what it says. It says the Spirit of God rushed upon him. He came down. Know the next one. Lion came to him roaring. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. You know what happens is the lion roared, but the Spirit rushed. Come on, somebody. When the lion roared, there's a lion. The Bible says he said the devil goes about like a roaring lion. But aren't you glad the Spirit of God can rush upon us at times? You can be sitting in your classroom and they can be talking about all this and that. And so contrary to the Word of God and the roaring going on, and the Spirit of God can rush upon you. You know, sometimes in situations, I remember we were standing in line. I had a guy from Trinidad one time, and he was a very loud man. He didn't need a microphone. I mean, he was loud. And we were standing in line. And a woman lit up a cigarette in front of us in the McDonald's line. And this guy said, "Woman, that stick in your mouth's on fire." Come on, somebody. We used to be in line with Samuel. Samuel used to tell people, you know, if God had wanted you to smoke, he'd turn your nose upside down at the smoke like a smokestack coming out. Come on, somebody. How many know there sometimes when the Holy Ghost can just rush on you? And if you allow God, you'll do exploits that you never thought you'd do in your life. You'll say things in groups you never thought you'd say in your life. Listen, when the satanic lion roars, you can rush. When you begin to let this, why do you need the Holy Ghost? Because God wants to keep adding to the book of Acts in your life. See, what you don't know is the more that you allow the Lord, the more you'll grow in it. This is not something you'll step out here and start doing in huge leaps and bounds. You begin to grow and you begin to allow the Lord to use you. You know, I've told this, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is just what you do with your fear. Faith is not the absence. When I was a Baptist pastor and I began to look at this, I said, Lord, I said, is this true? I said, Lord, help me. And I fought and battled with it. And I told you how I brought people out of the church. But then I began to get hungry for more of God. I said, Lord, you know, I need to do this and overcome that. I want the Holy Ghost. And I remember the night that I prayed through. And I remember after I prayed through and I began to speak in another tongue, I remember thinking, you know, I took 3 years of French. Maybe I'm just imitating French. And I thought, well, no, that's not French. I know French. That's not French. And I remember just thinking, I said, you know, there was a man named Smith Wigglesworth. When he received the baptism, he got two or three syllables and he wrote it down on a piece of paper so he wouldn't forget it. He didn't know any better. He just thought he'd forget it. One of the greatest, we had Shang Wan's not here this morning. One of our elders, he's in heaven now, was called Yeno Hagenmacher. And Yeno had grown up in the nation of Hungary. And he's Hungarian. His father had been a billionaire, not a millionaire, a billionaire. He owned some of the largest hotels throughout Hungary. He had one of the greatest Hungarian chain of hotels. I won't go into all of it. They were billionaires. When Hungary was taken over by the communists, they lost everything. Left there, went over to Switzerland with the shirts on their backs. And rebuilt and started back there again. Yeno had become a physicist. He was one of the most intelligent men, went through the schools of Switzerland, had become a physicist, worked all over the world, building, you know. And his wife, his wife was Shang Won. He'd married a Korean, and she was of noble descent. Her descendants had been royalty. And they came to America, and they got saved. And they started going to Brother Eccles' church. And Brother Eccles was the man who was over Randy, the man that started our church. He was an older gentleman. And he began to talk about this same thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Shang Won opened. Her parents and all had gone to Dr. Cho's church in Korea. And she flowed right into it, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began speaking other tongues. Yeno was a physicist, very intelligent man, and he just stood against it. He opened up and said, all right, at least I'll acknowledge it's okay, but it's just not for everybody, just for a select few. The day came when he walked into the bedroom, and Shang Won didn't know that he was coming in the bedroom. She was by her bed praying and seeking God, and she was praying in another language. What she didn't know was she was praying Hungarian. And what Yeno knew was, she don't know Hungarian. She's Korean. And furthermore, what she didn't know was, she began to speak. Listen to this. In her prayer, she began to call out, and she was praying for somebody. And she didn't know this. She's praying, and he's listening to her speak Hungarian. And suddenly, she calls out his pet name that his mother called him when he was a little boy. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine this physicist? And even after he heard that, he believed, but he just couldn't. He just couldn't receive because he was so intelligent. He just could not receive. And finally, Brother Eccles, I'm not going to say what he told him, but he helped him get through away. I'm not going to say it. He helped him to get through away because he was approaching God with intellect. He was approaching God intellectually. And finally, he got on Brother Yeno. He said, Brother Yeno, you need to just get personal with God, emotional. I'll just say it that way, emotional with God. And it was the way that broke him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he began to pray in another language, and God used him all the days of his life. Musicians, come on up. The last one is this. Why you need the Holy Spirit, the last thing is the Spirit of God will give you rest. I don't know if you don't have rest. Isaiah 63 says this. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. You see what that means? Livestock that goes down into the valley. That means when a livestock was up on the hillside, in the ravines, up on the cliffs. I don't know if you've ever been up on the cliffs and all. I mean, it's just no rest. You're worried about the next step, and you're about to fall, and there's predators up there, and there's the wind and the pressure. But it said it's like livestock that goes down into the pasture lands. That he leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. You're down in green pastures. You're down in meadows. You're down beside pools of water. And he said, the Spirit of God will do that in your life. The Spirit of God will give you, it was just like that. Go to the next scripture. It says, For by people of a strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest. Give rest to the weary and is repose, yet they would not hear. Next scripture now. Goodness. Paul quotes this, and listen to what he says. This is the Apostle Paul. This is not some freaky charismatic that's some strange doctrine. This is the Apostle Paul that said this. Many, many, many decades after his conversion, listen what he writes to the church at Corinth, and listen what he says. This is not some charismatic. Paul wasn't a charismatic. He wasn't a denomination. This is the Apostle Paul. He says this. I thank God, that I speak in tongues more than... Now, listen, I don't know if you ever studied the city of Corinth and the church at Corinth. They were a wild bunch. They spoke in tongues from the time the church doors opened till the church doors closed. They were radical about it. And he says, I know how radical you are. And he says, in church, I'd rather have prophesying. He began to see, he was real. He says, listen, he said, listen, you're not doing anybody any good in church by what you're doing. But he said, but just so that you don't get the wrong impression, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you. It sounds like a good club to join to me. What about you? Just here's the apostle. This is the apostle Paul, founder of more churches. This is the apostle Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. This is the apostle Paul. He said, I thank my God. This, he said, you know, that was only for the early, that was only very beginning. That was only for when God brought the, you know, into the, that was only very beginning of Acts, you know, 2. That's only thing. No, no. This is the apostle Paul. Decades later, how I live my Christian, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Come on, somebody. To a Baptist pastor, I said, you know what? I got to be honest. I don't understand it. I don't grasp all of it, but I got to be honest. The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues. Woo! And then he quotes the next verse. Children, don't be children in your thinking, but infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. The law is written by people of strange tongues and by lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. You know what he says? He quotes that we read in Isaiah. You know what he said? He said, listen, this is the rest you can have. Everybody stand up this morning, would you? I don't know what kind of rest you're having in your life or not, but you know, God wants to give you rest. You know what I learned? I said, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that kind of stuff. Listen, jump into the goodness of God. Don't worry if Mrs. Smell Fungus doesn't like it. You jump into the goodness of God. And I remember today as a Baptist pastor, I just jumped into the goodness of God. I said, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And that didn't happen overnight. I had to keep going and seeking and searching after God. And I remember the day He filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, I just, it wasn't so much I got more as I surrendered everything to God. And God began to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak in a tongue and a language I never knew. And I just began to speak it out. And then the Bible says, listen, let me say this real quick. Here's how it works. Is God didn't come down and grab my tongue and start slapping my tongue up and down. You know what the Bible says? They spoke. Everybody say, they spoke. As the Spirit gave the utterance. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. God didn't grab your vocal cords and... What God does, He puts a thought in your brain. Just like you do English. When I'm speaking, my brain doesn't go down and grab my tongue and slap it. I can't explain to you how it works, but in my brain, a thought comes. And then I utter it with my... I speak it. And what God does is He'll put a thought in your brain or in your spirit. I don't know how to say it. And then you have to speak it. They spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance. They spoke what the Lord pressed them, put in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit. They spoke as God did that. And this morning what I do, I've learned this in my life. I said, Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. And then I said, Lord, now I'm going to just, I ask you, I believe you're going to fill me. And then what I did was, there was this moment I said, Lord, I'm not going to speak English anymore. I'm just going to be able to speak what you give me. And all of a sudden, I can't explain how language occurs. But in my brain, in my spirit, in my heart, utterances came. And I spoke what I heard or thought. And I remember the first time I thought, I'm just copying what they're doing. And then I said, no, you just speak it out and you go for it. So listen, this morning, you just jump into the goodness of God. Bring the lights down a little bit more, would you, back in the back? And I want you to do this, Dale. I want you just to get ready. We begin to let the musicians begin to come up good and loud. Would y'all just begin to come up musically good and loud? Just begin to do that. I'm going to pray over this place. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to do this. You say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me afresh anew. Maybe some of you have stopped. And Lord, He wants to refill you today. Fill you with the Holy Ghost afresh anew. Begin to fill you up with the Lord. Give me this microphone. Just ask the Lord begin to fill you afresh anew this morning. God, begin to do that afresh anew. God, begin to fill you afresh anew this morning. Just say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, renew it this morning. Father, we begin to thank you. Lord, we thank you for the promise is unto us. It's to our children, to our children's children, and as many as far off the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Father. We wait this morning on you, Lord God. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Now right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, fill this place with your presence. Shanto rebesi rebeke, so rebesi lebrakande leboromo, robo korebesi lebrakande, santo robo korre, lante lebakore besile, robo kodote brasande, lebo seto rebakane, so rebakane, lo koto rebesi ke, lo koda brasanda, soto rebesi lebakane, leto rebesi le. Lototo rebakama, na ke le korebe, le ke te le boshante broko, se la baka, sole borosoto, sante boropo robobo bobo, se la boko borebebe, shame le boshene, fill us Lord, Jesus, fill us Lord, come on guys, begin to take off, come on, begin to lift your voice, you just say Lord, fill me with your presence. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain.
it rain on me. Let it rain on me, Lord. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Clap off for this morning, would you? Come on. And they shall seek for me, and they shall find me, when they seek with me with all their heart. Go play piano a little bit. When they seek for me with all their heart. This morning, here's what I want to ask you to do. You know, if some of you received and some did not right now, I understand that. When I first began, I sought hard after the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until I receive. And I began to seek Him. Every chance, opportunity I got, I went after it. I sought the Lord. I said, God, in the night season, I cried. There are seasons, I don't understand. There are seasons when everything happens at once, and there are seasons when it takes the whole night, like the fig tree. There are seasons when it takes some time of me seeking after God. It's not earning it. It's not. God just wants to see if I'll seek Him with all my heart. Sometimes easy get, easy go. Sometimes people that get stuff real easy, they don't have any appreciation of it. And I'm going to have an appreciation of the baptism. It took me. I had to go after it. I had to lose my church. I remember when I got it, and I was pastoring a Baptist church, and I was honest with them. They didn't want to go that way. And I said, you know, I love you guys, and I'll help you. And I called another pastor in from another state, and he took over the church. And I blessed him and put him in charge and blessed the people and left. And you know why? Because I said, you know what? This is not a deal breaker. This, to me, this is not, you got to have this to be saved. That's not true. I'm not in that camp. I believe it's more that you can receive from the Lord. I believe there are issues that if you believe it and you don't go for it, there's issues there between you and the Lord. But as far as a deal breaker, that's not a deal breaker for me in terms of fellowship. It's not a deal breaker for me. I believe in it. I flow in it. I see the Lord do great things through me. And I always ask, why wouldn't you want everything God has for you? Understand, if you're not convinced, then seek the Lord and do like I did. And ask the Lord, show me, open my heart. And then let the Lord begin to reveal. He's big enough. He's secure enough. He's not intimidated by you questioning and seeking, as long as your honest heart. And so the Lord will begin to do that in your life, and God began to show you. But here's what I'm going to do. If you didn't receive today, I want you to follow on, seek after. Wednesday night, we're going to be here praying. We're going to pray all night in just the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach a little bit on what it does for you when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues. There's about 5, 6, 7 different things that happen to you when it happens. I'll talk about that Wednesday night. Then we're just going to pray the night away in the Holy Ghost. And be, Lord, do that. And if you're not, we're going to pray specifically for people that night. You know why? It's a little tough. Why don't you do it right now? I'm going to make it a little hard. If you want to go for God and release, then you're going to need to take some effort. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this people this morning. Thank you for the reign of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the peace of God I just sense in our lives right now. Thank you when the world is swirling around us and the lions are on our doorsteps. A peace that passes all understanding. A rest. Thank you for this gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for not leaving us orphans, but you've given the Holy Spirit. Spirit of living God, we thank you this morning for leading us and glorifying Jesus of Nazareth. You know the reason I can preach so good about Jesus is because the Holy Spirit has taken what is His and He showed it. I don't glorify the Holy Spirit. He has come that I can glorify the Lord Jesus. He has come that I can know the things of God. He has come that I might know the Father's will. He has come to reveal Calvary to me. He's come to reveal and glorify the Lord Jesus. That's what the Spirit does in my life. That's why I can know Him so intimately. That's why I can know Him so greatly. That's why He's given gifts. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's all kinds of things that opens the door in your life for the gifts of the Spirit when you get baptized. So, Father, this morning, we just thank you for the power and the gift. And Lord, like expectant, obedient children, we thank you and we receive. And everybody said a good amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? Give Him a great clap offering. Kick that song up again. Let it rain. Turn around and give somebody a good hug. Would you do that? Give Him a good hug in Jesus' name. Tell me you love me in Jesus that quick. Let me tell you one other thing. Keep praying for Doug and Savetta, and especially Anya. But last week, you guys gave $11,000 for them. Isn't that great? Give them a great clap offering. You guys gave $11,000 for them. And keep them in your prayers, and especially for Anya. Keep praying for them. God bless you.